Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with the business and economic segment. However, at this point in time, it's always very important to look at the conversation for today. The main conversation for today, we are looking at the strength of SOEs, state-owned enterprises, and how can we advance these SOEs, particularly in Namibia. We have seen a lot of SOEs. Some of them are collapsing. Some of them, they still continue to be unproductive, continue to be bailed out. And every year in Namibia, we hear about dispute, CEO, boardroom, minister in charge. Maybe it's a time to ask our questions to say, what is the importance of SOEs in national development? And what is the strength of SOEs in impacting national development? I'm joined by my colleague, Kinomeno Erastus. He's an economist, but just to look at that area. Now, Kinomeno, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic Segment. And thank you for joining us.
Yes, man. No. We need to facilitate the conversation that matter. And I think from your introduction, and before we even go to understand why must we strengthen the governance of these institutions, I think we need to understand why must we have state-owned enterprises?
Yeah.
Especially on certain sectors. Because let us even look at NamWater.
Yeah.
And then we look at NamPower.
Yeah.
And we also look at like institution like NWR. One need to understand why they exist. And also, we also look at the Development Bank of Namibia. Look at BDN. Look at the sector where they are participating in terms of capital deployment and access to finance. And if you look at the rates of BDN and you compare them to the commercial bank, they are not the same.
Yeah.
If you look at their risk appetite, they are not the same.
Yeah.
Then from the context now, David, you get to understand why must we have DBS? You want to understand, because if you go around, every young person, every entrepreneur is complaining, no, we do not have access to finance and capital. Then you get now to understand that why must AgriBank and DBN exist and they should function efficiently? Because they are filling a very important role and gap in our economic development.
AgriBank
is making sure capital gets to the right young people, gets to the right Namibian people who are willing to add value, to produce food, and to do certain things in agriculture.
And
again, if you go deeper again in AgriBank, and if you look at their, how they change their collateral and how the government is even subsidizing some of the interest payments, then you get to understand why AgriBank is very important. And once you understand the importance, then you will definitely say we should have a strong governance in place so that that body exists. And it's the same thing for DBN. So you look at the mandate of those institutions and what they provide, the capital they provide in our economic development and in a way going forward, then you get to realize like, yo, if AgriBank collapses, if DBN collapse, what will happen?
Now, while we are at governance, you know, we have seen, I don't want to mention names, you have seen some of misunderstandings. Is it something wrong with the Public Enterprise Act, or is just the relationship between, the CEO, the board, and the ministry in charge? Because every year, if I have to tell you, every year we have seen there's always, either if it's not a misunderstanding, there's always some of the, if it's not a battle in the High Court between the board, the CEO, and the ministry, why these people were supposed to implement their mandate and serving the people, they continue that fight. What is really wrong with our corporate governance structure, particularly with SOEs?
One way they will go backward to say, okay, aware things. Look, I always say this, man. We came from a different economic background.
Yeah.
We were handling gatherings, eh?
Then
somebody will say, okay, cool, leave your economic model.
Yeah.
And come to this economic model.
Yeah.
And we are coming with different governance structures from our all the type of things.
Yeah.
Now you get to be introduced. I know a lot of people, they went to school, they studied, blah, 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 and things like that. And it's okay.
Yeah.
So there is also that gap in understanding the governance of certain institutions that are operating in certain spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And not only the understanding, it also certain people, look, exposure is very important.
Yeah.
You get to be exposed to different dynamics of how economies are built.
Yeah.
And you also get to listen to certain people. Look, and if you have CEOs and the board of directors,
yeah,
that are not, and I'm, this is going to be very, I'm going to insult a lot of people because people
at PhD, they have a lot of degrees, they have a lot of MBAs.
I'm telling you,
yeah,
it doesn't mean just because you're a CEO of a bank or a CEO of another institution,
yeah,
you are able to provide the proper governance and guidance to a public enterprise that is a mandate to fulfill. And one of that mandate including providing a public good.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at the market price. And also to a certain extent for the inequality.
Yeah.
So and we tend to ignore that just because the person is has a lot of accolades,
yeah,
or whatever you call them, then you say come and be a board here or come and be a CEO.
Yeah.
They are going to struggle because the dynamics and the systems that are in place, and if they are very weak, I will say this.
Yeah.
You know, there is a literature that exists, just that it's not documented.
Yeah.
But when it comes to something called the public something in Namibia, we tend to misuse it. And that weakness, if you put somebody at such a platform,
yeah,
where there are no systems and checks that are on your face,
yeah,
you are going to misuse it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are coming from a bank, let me say a bank, where there are systems of control and oversight, you don't get to do anything.
Yeah.
Then you come now to an institution.
Open book.
An open book.
Yeah.
Many of us are very weak.
Mm-hmm.
We will start not to perform. We will start not to really care because there are no systems.
Yeah.
Because the capitalistic systems where many of us are operating and working.
Yeah.
We are like slaves or goats, and we have cattle or goat herders that are looking over us.
Yeah.
So now when you transition to an institution where there is not a cattle header or a goat header,
yeah,
all that exists there is just a mandate that to provide water affordably as possible,
yeah,
provide electricity efficiently and cheaply as possible. That is all we have.
Yeah.
Nobody is really checking up on you or controlling you. It's just a very, very big mandate.
Yeah.
Now, many of us fall into that trap because nobody's looking at us.
Yeah.
It's whatever we want. And that is what is actually why governance in SOE is failing. Because these people are expecting somebody to be asking them, somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And because the systems and governance structure are very weak in government, many of the leaders that we put there,
yeah,
they feel like, oh my goodness, now I'm in holidays.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a bit controversial, but it's needed. I want us to look at, because in South Africa, they have a thing of CADA deployment, ANC dictate many of the guys who are sent to SOE, some of them who did not make it to either parliament or national politics. Some of them are deployed to those boards, and they cause a lot of chaotic activities in those boards. Do you really think deploying somebody because it's known politically can solve problems? Or what do you really need to do, especially boards from the government side?
And that is one of the things.
Yeah.
We moved to a set because most of our deployment, David, as I say, you are from the political side. I'm from the market side of things. We have two systems.
Yeah.
In an economic system, we operate about efficiency and the profit maximization.
Yeah.
That is what, if you are doing anything in an economic state,
yeah,
is to provide a good services,
yeah,
at a premium, at a profitable rate. Now, when you come to the economics and to the political side of things,
yeah,
you're supposed to provide the guidance,
yeah,
for the good to be delivered within a certain setting.
Yeah.
Now, our politics in Africa and in Namibia is this.
Yeah.
We have a comradeship type of theory now where we are close to each other, we do all these things.
Yeah.
There is no sense of accountability. If you go in any political system that we have now,
yeah,
do they have any governance that this is how our operational governance, that if you do this, if you don't deliver on this,
yeah,
you're going to do this.
Yeah.
The only time they scold one another is when if you do not campaign or you are standing in the party.
Yeah.
Now, when you're operating in such a structure,
yeah,
where you are deploying people to operate in an economic structure, but you do not put in a governance structure,
yeah,
or a model of operation on the delivery that they have to,
yeah,
you will fail. And if you do not, and this is the weakness we have.
Yeah.
We don't, and I was listening to Satyam Gurari in Parliament.
Yeah.
He said, when something is wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And it deserves to be called out.
Yeah.
That has never existed in our party structure. Then if you cannot hold people accountable, then do not deploy them to level or position where it requires accountability.
Yes.
And that's why many of them, they do not provide the annual report. Because they are not used to it.
No, even financial statement, they don't do that.
They don't, because they are not used to it.
Yes. Lastly, let us look at the solution. What do you think can be done apart from accountability, apart from looking at maybe familiarization of and knowing environment, either, or just effectiveness of governance? What can really do, especially to revamp and also to put our SOEs on standard, then they can deliver what is needed to be delivered?
The first thing is this, man. The first thing above all is to understand the mandate, my guy.
Yeah.
The economy mandate. I'm telling you, if the water infrastructure are not deployed on time,
yeah,
if the generation of electricity by manpower is not done on time,
yeah,
if EBN is not lending to SMEs,
yeah,
if AgriBank is not deploying capital to the agripreneurs,
yeah,
if NWR is not operating at the level where every Namibian can travel and afford their own accommodation,
yeah,
then we will fail the state, because these SOEs are also playing a key role,
yeah,
in reducing inequality and enabling affordability by all Namibians.
Uh-huh.
That is where it stands. Understanding the mandate, that mandate is so big, it's above you.
Yeah.
And if the institution says, it means that a certain Namibian is going to suffer. So there is no schools or whatever that I'm going to teach or whatever. No. We need to understand the mandate of that. And that's why now, all of us are learning.
Yeah.
All of us are learning.
Yeah.
My approach of leadership is that we have to deliver. If I have somebody in the team, it's all about delivery. I don't care how you came in. And if you can't, you go.
Yeah.
It is a model that's supposed to be used anyway.
But now
we have people that are entitled to resources, that are entitled to their political affiliation. I created this, I'm from this party.
Yeah.
Then we cannot deliver the economic good we're supposed to deliver.
Yes. Guinomena Erastus, thank you very much for joining us this evening, and thank you for input.
All right, man. Thanks.
Sure.
About this conversation. It cannot be correct for a beautiful country like Namibia, which third largest producer of uranium, to be able to be where it is like today in terms of unemployment in general, in terms of economic ranking. It's not right for a country like Namibia to be the only country in the world to be downgraded when it's coming to economic development. And that is why we bring about this conversation. That is why we interrogate matters here. That is why we make sure that whatever we say here, whatever we bring on the table, is for the benefit of our country. Because we do not want to blame the generation which is going to come. What are we doing as a generation for today? So, dear listeners, Business and Economic Segment is your platform. That is where we bring those discussions. That is where we bring those conversation. That is why, before we go deep into the conversation, we always look at what we offer here at Eagle FM Namibia. And It's always very important. It's always very important to make sure that you connect to us. Connect with us at Eagle FM Namibia. Make sure that you connect with us on Facebook. Connect with us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and X. Because that is the only way that you'll be able to get those economic information. That is only the way you can get those economic insight, that business intelligence, so that you can make those long-term strategic economic decisions. On top of that, we have the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper that you can access to every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. And if you are a student of politics, you are a student of international relations, you are a student of economics, you are a student of business, you are an entrepreneur, you are a business person, you are a young person who believe in economic development, you are a young person who want to bring changes in your community, the Villager newspaper, you are a researcher, the Villager newspaper is your go-to-go newspaper, because that is where you can get insight, that is where you can get information. And what is very interesting is that information without being used is nothing. That's why the production distribution of information is to make sure that when you get those insights, you will be able now to implement what needs to be done. Because when you get insight about certain demand of products in a specific sector that you are able to provide, that is where your direction of business is going to. When you are a market researcher or an economic researcher, when you get those statistics, that is where you can expand. That's where you can dig deep so that you can improve in your, you can improve in your course that you are doing. You can improve in the project that you are doing. And also you can improve in the investment that you are doing. So apart from connecting with us at our social media platform and liking our page and also downloading the Villager newspaper, it's also very important to make sure that you download Eagle FM app. Because there are always those who are asking us questions to say, where are you? We are not able to connect with you. The frequency is not reaching us. We have a better way of connecting with you. We have a better way of reaching you. That is why what you can do, go to your Play Store, write Eagle FM Namibia, download that app. The moment you open that app, when you open that app, then you will be able now to listen to the programs which are on air, the shows which are on air, the critical discussions which are on air. Then you'll be able to be empowered. You'll be able also to contribute. Apart from that, there are situations where you missed, you just missed certain program that time. We have a podcast, and it's through that podcast that you'll be able now to make sure that you access those previous shows that you couldn't listen to, then you can be able now to equip yourself with content. While we are there, we also have Imba app. That is a digital form of a hymn book in all our languages, Oshiwambo, English, Afrikaans, and Oshiherero, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. You go to Play Store, you download that, then you'll be able to sing along and be a good citizen who use digital form. Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are continuing with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. And the conversation for today, we are going to look at the state of Namibia SOEs. The state of Namibia SOEs, these are state-owned enterprises. Are they in good format? What are they? And how we can move forward? Because for us to drive development, one of the sector of driving development is government business. And there are those entities, some are calling them prastatals, some are calling them SOEs or government-owned businesses. And these are the institutions and entities which are operating on behalf of the state and also some shares from the private sector in order to make sure that they bring money to the state, they serve the people, they give services, and they strengthen the economic system of the country. Now, the questions the motivation of questioning and asking the state of Namibia SOEs is based on what we are seeing, what we have been seeing, and in comparison to other countries like South Africa. What is the contribution of Namibia SOEs to national development? What is the impact of mismanagement of SOEs in Namibia? And how can we move? How can we advance corporate governance? How can we create that good relationship between politicians and corporate leaders, between board of directors and also corporate, you know, officials such as CEOs and management? Because that is where the direction is going. Now, before we go to the main conversation of SOEs, ask yourself this question. Why every year, when you are reading a newspaper, when you are watching visual news, every year in Namibia, not more than 3 CEOs are in controversy, whether somebody is fired, suspended, and all those things? There is always a misunderstanding. There is always a fight between board of directors and management of the institutions. Let me give you a few examples. It's not even going to be a list which is going to end. Sometimes it can even expand to village councillors and to village councils and also municipalities. What is wrong with our corporate governance? Look at what happened. Ask yourself this. What happened to Air Namibia? What happened to Namibia Financial Student Assistance Fund? Look at, I don't want to talk about NIDA either. Look at the history of Trans-Namib. Look at, what institution is that? Look at the NIPAM, for example. Look at many other SOEs. Look at NAMCO. Look at, I think MVF and there's a very good reputation. The list can go. What is the problem with us? How many cases were brought? How many cases were brought to High Court? How many cases were brought to High Court regarding the disputes of board of directors and CEOs? How many fights between politicians and corporate leaders? Is there something wrong with the Public Enterprise Act? Is there something wrong with it? Does it need to be redefined? Is there something wrong with the understanding and orientation between politicians and also how the corporate world is operating? What is wrong with that? Now, the question, the motivation of this question is to say there is a lot of money being spent on fighting for positions than being spent on real development or being spent in achieving the mandates of those institutions. Yes. Looking at the operation of SOEs in Namibia in comparison with South Africa, analyst by the name Prince Marshall, and indeed at one point he was a speechwriter to former president of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, one of the controversial speakers in South Africa, and he's a good analyst, by the way. He indicated to say the inability of ANC to coordinate and understand the operation of South African SOEs, the collapse of state institution is the end of the governance of ANC and is the end of, you know, strong leadership within the Southern African context. Because when you look at South African SOEs, when you look at institutions like SALS, for example, don't go far. Look at ESCOM. Look at ESCOM. How ESCOM have been operating. How ESCOM have been operating. What difficulties were the leaders or the CEOs, directors of ESCOMs we're facing? Why do we have a bigger developed country, upper middle income, still South Africa? We still have load shedding. Why do you think it's that? Why do you think it's that? What is the impact of mismanagement of SOEs? I want you to get the time and read a book by Andrew De Ruyter. He's a former CEO of ESCOM, and he has been a CEO of ESCOM for around 3 years there. Then the book is titled Truth to Power. I'm not marketing him. Just go and read for your own understanding. Because in the operation, in the politics of ANC, for example, they have this thing of cadre deployment. You know, a cadre deployment is when you have a situation where the comrades, some of them do not have qualifications. Some of them, they did not make it through the political list, or they are not able to secure jobs or tenders. Then they are being deployed into boards of SOEs. They are being deployed into, you know, board of SOEs to manage those SOEs. And some of them, they only have field experience. Some of them, they don't even meet the requirements. But in this regard, the management of the board becomes so lose touch with reality. Then they give pressure to these corporate guys from business school. They give pressure to these corporate guys from business schools. Then everything collapses. Then everything collapses. What is wrong with that? What is wrong? Now, in Namibia, we have seen and we are asking a lot of questions. We were never in the board before, but we know what the act is saying. We have seen how a lot of people lost their jobs and their reputations. Some of them, they disappeared from the corporate life because of the toxicity and the fights that is happening within SOEs. Now, the question that we need also to look at is that maybe we need to ask these deep questions to say, is there a problem with ACT, which is managing public enterprises? Is there a problem with Penga ACT? Or is there a problem with the coordination between politicians and also the corporate leaders? Because when you look at the Public Enterprise Government Act 1 of 2019, the act is very clear what is expected from the minister, which that institution is operating under, what is expected from that institutions, the operation of the SOE, the report, what you need to do. Just for example, you are expected to give your audited financial statement within not less than a year. And you are expected to have integrated strategic plan approved to say, so that you operate. Now, looking at this thing, one will be able to understand that the operation of an institution like an SOE, there's somebody who stayed in the office for every day. There's somebody who just come to sit at the board. Then there's somebody who has a national responsibility, because the operation of an SOE is like this. I want you to get me very well. You have the CEO and management. Those days we used to think when you are the CEO of an institution, especially SOEs, or you are the CEO of the town, you are the boss. Now, a CEO of a SOEs, you report to the board. Then the chairperson of the board of directors, that is your boss. And when the chairperson of the board of directors want to use the institution to get some tenders, for example, or to influence those decisions, which you are not really agreeing as a CEO to cause problem. That's why there's something that is called cop politics. Somebody worked very hard, you went to school, you went to business school, or you whatever you studied law, you studied MBA, you go through the ranks, you become a CEO. After 6 months, they send you home, then you never recover. Then one thing that needs to be understood is that in Namibia, if you become a CEO for more than two terms, and we thank those one who survived until they get two terms, because from being fired as a CEO, it's very difficult for you to get a job. Where are you going to work? Where are you going to work if you are ahead? Unless you're humble enough, then you can go to those smaller posts, or you can become a director somewhere. It's only happening when you are lucky. But when you are fired, doesn't only mean that it's ending there. It also means that money is lost in the battle of positions. Because when you are fired, you have to fight back. When you are fired, you have to fight back. When you are fighting back, that is legal cost. You are fighting also with the company. The company also have to take their lawyers and fight you. Then it will end up in court. Then the court will decide. Now, I want you to take one good example of Nasfaf. What was happening there? CEO got suspension, full payment. CEO got suspension on full payment. She went to the labor court. The labor court realized that suspension was unlawful. And after a few years, company fought back again. They went to high court. They're appearing at high court. And until to the point where you do not even understand what is going on. To the point where you don't even understand what is going on. Then to the point where the relationship between the CEO and the company is broken. Even if you have to return that person, it will not going to work out. It's a very complicated and a fight which also caused disruption of the institution. Like Namibia Financial Student Assistance Fund. It caused disruption of the institution. It caused chaotic things to happen. And who was impacted by that? The students on the ground were the ones who were impacted. Money spent on the fight, money spent on destroying each other, then money being spent on real issues. Now, I think it's also the right time now, politicians, to make sure that this thing should not continue anymore. This thing should not continue anymore. If it's the legal framework that needs to be changed, it must be changed now. If the legal framework that needs to be changed, it must be changed now. Because if not, the continuation of poor relationships between corporate chiefs and their board of directors will not work. Will not work at all. And it also having a political influence. It's also having a political influence. There's a political influence, and when we continue to do like this, the development of the country, the development of Namibia will not be realized. That is number one. Look at institutions like NANCO. And there was sometimes I posted something on my Facebook page to say, no, I think this guy, Tate Murunga, must write a book about corporate governance, because when you look at the fights which have been happening at NAMCO, when you look at what these men have been surviving, until now there is no case that he did not win. And he was supposed to come back to work after all those fights, after all those investigations. And you are just asking yourself, who is wrong here? Who is involved? It confuses you. It confuses you, and to the point where you say, it could be a governance system which is established. It could be an act which is not clearly stipulated. It could be that everyone is doing his or her job. The board is doing their job. The CEO is doing his job. But the act is complicating things. Now, who is benefiting from this chaos? In every situation, there are always winners and losers. In every situation, there are always winners and losers, and there are those who take advantage of the situations. There are those who take advantage of the situation. If you have those who their concern is only getting tenders and using powers to flex, they don't care whether the institution collapses or not. Now you have a rich and stronger institution like NAMCO, which has a huge responsibility, particularly in terms of oil. And through this fight, MD fight with the board is suspended, CEO is changed, you have interim board. These things are, we are very tired of these things. Then you have an offer which is given by a Gordon government to get something regarding, to get some stakes in oil production that could also benefit Namibia. But if you are fighting, do you think you have time to focus on a mandate? Because everyone is aligning. Because one thing we need to understand is that SOE was supposed to be a corporate, well-organized institution. It was not supposed to be a political ground. It was not supposed to be a political ground or a political battlefield where people are sorting out their differences. No, I think if you are a judge or you are a prosecutor, you'll be able to agree with me to say, or you're working in at the Labor Commission or the Ministry of Justice and Labor, you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. That the fight between boards, CEOs, misunderstanding between line ministries is not going to work. And is delaying Namibian people the fruits that they could have gotten already many years ago. That is development. That is advancement of key priority areas. Now, you have an institution like NIDA, for example. Established institution. You have a CEO, well-read guy, very good CV. You don't know what happened there. After around 7 years of existence, the institution only made profit once. Only profit once. All those years you get money to operate. Only made profit once. After all those years of existence, the institution only got audited financial statement once and one strategic plan. Then you're asking yourself, what is really wrong with us, Namibian? What's really wrong with us, and how can we assist? Because sometimes it's not only about blaming, it's also about coming in to say, what is going on? What can we learn from this? What can we learn from this? Because because the collapse of state institution is a collapse of a well-functioning state. The collapse of SOEs is a collapse of a well-functioning state. And this thing of CADA deployment may look like a good thing, but CADA deployment delay development and also weaken the country's institutions. Because I like the operational mechanism of our late operational mechanism and also the thinking of our late president Ginko, when you talk about process, systems and institutions, because he was regarded as a good administrator in terms of planning policies and following procedures. When you have system, processes, and institutions, those things, they work along. If the institution is not strong, to weaken the system and the process will not work. That's why he started that thing of governance first. Then you have, go and read the Harambee Prosperity Plan, because the main thought, you start with governance, work on governance, then other things will follow. Work out on the governance part, because when you work out on the governance part, it's easy for you to follow that process, and it's easy for that system to make that institution function. Now, I think it's something that we need to look at, and it's also something that we need also to work on. Because what is also very interesting is that this trend, we are a very small country. We are not even 4 million people. We are a very small country. This trend does not only happen in corporate SOEs. Even look at SOEs in the form of institutions like universities. What is happening there at the top? The top is very warm. At the top is very warm. When the top is very warm, when the top is very warm, the guys at the edge or the guys at the periphery, which are the students, the receivers of the end, they will not get anything. You know, this institution, which name is not going to be mentioned, where after the term ended, the chairperson of the board wrote his own report to the minister. The other board members, they also wrote their own report, and you just do not know what is going on. Maybe the chairperson was right. Who knows? Maybe the chairperson was the only person who was right, because majority does not necessarily mean to say you guys are the only one who is right. Maybe the chairperson was right. Maybe people have different motives. So, because if this thing continue, believe me, you, if the act which is governing state institution is not revised, if the act which governing a state institution is not well articulated and well understood, things will not work out. Things will not work out, and will end up continue to be behind in terms of international development. Remember, we want to revive, for example, Air Namibia, it's a national airline, which is a very good thing to say. In terms of numbers are not on our side. It's an institution which cost around 9 billion just being bailed out. And when you are going to revive it, what are the people going to be focusing on? What are the leaders of revived Air Namibia going to be focused on? Are they going to focus on profit, or they are going to fight each other at the board? Because number one, sometimes one thing I've learned from my uncle is that, and I think it's not only my uncle who shared the same thought, is that sometimes when you are in trouble, look at yourself first rather than blaming others. I look at myself. Could it be that I'm the cause of the problem? Could it be that I'm the cause of the problem? Could it be that before we start blaming external people, could it be that we are the cause of the problem? And that the moment we understand that we are the cause of the problem, that is the only way that we are going to solve that, catfight in Namibia corporate institutions. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today, we are just looking at what really the cause of fights in SOEs, the collapse of SOEs, the inability or the barriers of those SOEs to deliver effectively. Look at the railway system in Namibia. Just look at that. Trans-Namibia is a good case study. And I'm saying this with good respect. What really happened there? Trans-Namibia. We want our railways to be operational. I want to use a train to travel to the north, to the south. I want to do business. What happened there? Who is calling the shots? And when are we going to revive that? How many trains have you seen transporting people in Namibia? Do they even exist? Do people travel by the railways? Is it safe even? And when? The question is when. Because if you are talking about the African Continental Free Trade Area, African Continental Free Trade Area is a very good thing. And I like the fact that Namibia launched its first, product to the African continent within that zone. But trade needs logistic. Effective trade needs logistic. And that logistic, one of them is railway. Imagine we have a hub. We can transport via the sea route. We can transport via the on air. But I don't know with what transport on air. But most importantly, the hub is connected to railway. How are we connected to countries like Botswana? If we have effective railways, we have effective trains. Now, what is our SOEs? What is our Transnami doing about that? Or can we have other alternative? Who is limiting them? I'm not saying it's them. It's the relationship between the leaders of the SOE, the board of the SOE, the minister in line, and also the directive from the top. What is going on? Yeah, because for you to have an operational SOE, you don't just need an effective CEO. You also need an effective chairperson of the board. You also need effective board members with quality and understanding. And on top of that, you also need a minister responsible for that, who is awake, who is on top of his game or on top of her game. And that's the only way that you're going to work out. You need people with good understanding and clear thinking when it's coming to corporate governance. Because otherwise, things will not change. Things will not work out. And being driven by personal interest will continue to put us in trouble, especially as young people without power and influence will continue to put us in trouble and will delay our kids at their future. Because when you look at SOEs, and I like saying this, you know that a highest person in Namibia is not the president. The highest person in Namibia is not the president. You can argue with me on different ground. You look at the, I don't know the mention names, CEOs. They got a lot of money. Corporate executives. And it's a good thing actually to look at why the paying scale. Because in a corporate sector, a person is paid, number one, is to participate effectively in the economy, to drive that organization, to make profit for that organization, and also the amount of work with that person is paid to. Because if you are a corporate executive, you are a strategic thinker. People assume that you are a strategic thinker, you think ahead, and you are paid because of the amount of pain that you can tolerate, and also the number of problems that you are solving. That is why these corporate executives are paid a lot of money. Go to the salary scales. Look at, I don't know how to mention names. Just look at the highest paid SOEs, executives in Namibia. Then you look at what they do. They spend a lot of money fighting for their bread, then fighting for their institutions. So do we need a different evaluation in terms of leadership? Yeah, maybe we need to go beyond blaming the minister in charge of that SOE, beyond the board of directors, beyond the CEO, and also people under the CEO, below the senior and junior management, or middle management to say. Maybe we also need to look at the content of understanding that these people have. We need to look at the content of understanding what these people have. Are they getting there because they are qualified? Are they getting there because they have passion about that? How are they getting selected? Because one Chinese professor of international business made one joke to say, I don't like it when our executives, we send them to Harvard Business School because they are coming up with different tricks. And even when they did something, it's difficult for us to catch them here in China. But yeah, it's because one thing that you need to understand is that most of these guys who are running corporate institutions in Namibia, Majority of them, they're highly educated, they are professional. Some of them, they spent around 20 years in management. And some of them, they have been, they have been in different boards. But when they are given institution to run, they become stuck. Some of them, they are resigning without even saying anything. Then you're asking yourself, what monster is there in our corporate, in our corporate boardrooms? And can we understand it before it's too late? What monster is there? Somebody just resigning and everybody's quiet in the channel. What's going on? Person just resigned. Well, a person is on suspension for 2 years with a full salary. Because other institutions, if you travel around the institution, you just hear a person is on suspension for 2 years with salary, with benefits. And whose money is this? Ask yourself, whose money is this that this person is paid? Whose money? Yeah, the law is saying a person is innocent until proven otherwise. You have to pay the person. What is the act saying? And I do not want to name much on institutions, but the one thing you need to understand is also even the institutions which were supposed to make sure that the legal framework of governance is followed, they are also struggling with that. It could be that it's not the people. It could be that it's the act. Let's assume that. And I'll get time. I'm not promising you, but that is what's going to happen. I'll get time to get one of the former corporate leaders just to give general views on this corporate politics, particularly the relationship between boards and management, relationship between the board and the minister responsible, and how we can smoothen those things. Because the reason of us coming up with this conversation is not necessarily to criticize, but to see where the problem is, so that those who have experience can assist, those who have a good understanding can assist. Because institutions which were supposed to assist the state to achieve its mandate, but instead of that, they just become institutions which become political battlefield, corporate battlefield. I don't think that is what we want as a Namibian citizen. I don't think that is what I want as a Namibian citizen. I don't want to be led by institutions or by a country without a direction. Because remember, we are not saying all the SOEs are bad. Understand me very well. Not all the SOEs are bad. We have highly performing SOEs. We have some SOEs which understand good governance. We have some SOEs which retrain their management, and they make sure that it's on standard. And you have some SOEs which make huge profit, and they partake in corporate social responsibilities and do very well to the community. And you also have those one who you are asking yourself a lot of questions to say, what is happening here? I don't want to talk about youth institutions. I don't want to get there because I'll end up being beaten. I don't want to talk about youth institutions. I don't want to get there because if we go there, we'll not finish. Because dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at the state of Namibia SOEs. And we are trying to understand the relationship between the ministry responsible for that SOEs, the board, the chairperson of the board, the management, which include the CEO, and how we can smoothen that relationship and how we can deliver on what is needed. Because what is necessary is deliverance. What is necessary is development of this country. Because we are trying to look at these things, because tackling problems, avoiding problems, and also maintaining process, system, and institutions, as our late President Ngenkop used to say, is the only way that we are going to advance this country. Because I was talking to Hermo today to say, in China, they do not care which position you have. if you did something wrong, the law will just follow you. And they are very strict. You can be executed if you are not behaving. You can't do what you do here in Namibia. Because the same person that is in Namibia, if you take you to China and do what you do here, you know you are not going to survive. But is it because we have loopholes in our laws? Is it because our laws is not strong enough? Or what is going on? So those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And because when you answer those questions, and that is the only way that we are going to work forward. That's the only way that we are going to work forward. So that's why today, when we discuss about issues of corporate governance, issues of fights, issues of non-performing SOEs, I think it's it's the sole responsibility of the government and cabinet to make sure that at least at this administration, we have better governance. We have better governance, and there is no a contradiction between cabinet decisions and also Attorney General's advice and also Auditor General's advice also. People must speak with one voice, because if you want to say that there's a little bit of a problem, you can say the Attorney General, which is a lawyer of the government. It's a lawyer of the government. When Attorney General give an advice, or when Attorney General give a legal opinion, it means that is a legal, it is assumed that, is a legal opinion of the highest in the land. But when an attorney is giving a legal opinion, he give advice to say, this is how the process should be followed. But when the cabinet is saying, no, we don't want this, then you have a problem. Now you have an attorney general giving an advice to the cabinet. Then you have somebody disagreeing. Then the cabinet is saying the otherwise. Then you have auditor general also giving an opinion of an auditor general. Then people are not speaking in one voice. That's why if we are really serious about solving our national problems, let us start there. Let us start there, and when we start there, at the top, things will just flow. However, as an ordinary Namibian and also as a business operator, a corporate chief, it does not necessarily that we must wait for PEGA Act to be changed. It does not necessarily mean that we must wait for PEGA Act to be changed, or some corporate governance laws to be amended, or the act which is governing public sector, or the act which is also governing local authority. Because the fight is not only at the SOEs, it's also at the village councils and municipalities. We have an incident in Namibia where CEOs are punching each other with councillors at different village councils and also municipalities. And that is telling you that somewhere, somehow, things are not right. And somewhere, somehow, things need to be done well. We have corporate chiefs who disappeared from the public. They were working, they disappeared, and these people end up working in other countries. And that is not exactly what we want. These are the wealth of our country. Those are the capital wealth of our country. And we do not need to do that. So you can air your opinion, you can air your view, you can give your contribution, especially at the state of Namibia SOEs. And we can broaden that, and not only SOEs, but corporate governance in general. And how is this going to impact the priorities of the country? Because imagine a state institution was supposed to drive priority areas like energy, fuel, electricity. But the people are punching each other with punches in the boardroom. Then you have an interim CEOs who, and just to clean up and also to maintain the balance, how do you think the country is going to be run? It's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. You have an institution which is supposed to create jobs, then people are punching each other in the boardroom, or people are fighting at the court. It's not going to work out. Yeah, that's why, dear listeners, when we are doing this, when we are bringing about this conversation, it's not really to say we want to blame people, but we want at least some changes. Yeah, because that's the only way that we are going to assist each other. We want some changes, and we want development, especially young people of Namibia. We want development. We are desperate for jobs. We are desperate to have opportunities. And the environment is not yet conducive enough, although there is something which is being done, which is understandable. But we need to start from there. Things must be done well, and we must advance, because we continue to talk about this. It's not correct where we are in terms of rankings. It's not correct at all. It's not correct where we are. We end up like DRC. The richest country on earth, with estimated value of the wealth beneath its ground, that is cobalt, diamond, coltan, estimated about 25 to 30 trillion, equivalent to the economy of the United States of America, but it's the poorest country in Africa. There's governance institutions, this system, this process. Then the question you just ask, why? Are we moving or we are not moving? And if we are not moving, how can we move? So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And yeah, we were talking about the state of Namibia, SOEs in Namibia, the relationship between the ministry responsible, the board of directors, and the management of the institutions. How can we revive our state institutions? How can we create a good relationship between SOEs and people responsible to manage it? How can we save resources rather than keeping the fights in the boardroom, keeping the fights in the court? And how can we save our people? Because I understand that everybody want Namibia to be advanced. Everybody want Namibia to be somewhere. Everyone want to be safe. And state institution is the backbone of national development and can assist the government to reach its goal. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening, and have a blessed Friday. And yeah, bye-bye.